Well, it was long. 1 hour and 32 minutes. The longest acceptance speech by any presidential nominee. The first 15 to 20 minutes focused on unity after last Saturday's shooting, when Donald Trump said God was on his side.
So many people have asked me what happened. Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened. And you'll never hear it from me a second time because it's actually too painful to tell. I started to, like this, turn to my right and was ready to begin a little bit further turn, which I'm very lucky I didn't do, when I heard a loud whizzing sound and felt something hit me really, really hard on my right ear. I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. And moved my right hand to my ear, brought it down. My hand was covered with blood, just absolutely blood all over the place. I immediately knew it was very serious, that we were under attack, and in one movement proceeded to drop to the ground. Bullets were continuing to fly as very brave Secret Service agents rushed to the stage, and they really did, they rushed to the stage. These are great people, at great risk, I will tell you, and pounced on top of me so that I would be protected. There was blood pouring everywhere, and yet, in a certain way, I felt very safe because I had God on my side. I felt that.
And then Mr. Trump went off script, speaking about rigged elections, border invasions, the China virus, praising Hungary's Viktor Orban, and even referencing the late, great Hannibal Lecter.
They are coming in from every corner of the earth, not just from South America, but from Africa, Asia, the Middle East. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming at levels that we've never seen before. It is an invasion indeed. And this administration does absolutely nothing to stop them. They're coming from prisons. They're coming from jails. They're coming from mental institutions and insane asylums. I, the press is always on me because I say this. Has anyone seen Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter. He'd love to have you for dinner. That's insane asylums. They're emptying out their insane asylums. And terrorists are coming in at numbers that we've never seen before. Bad things are going to happen. This is going to be very bad. And bad things are going to happen, and you're seeing it happen all the time. That's why, to keep our families safe, the Republican platform promises to launch the largest deportation operation in the history of our country. The whole world is exploding. What's happening? What's going on? Viktor Orban, Prime Minister of Hungary, very tough man. He said, I don't want people coming into my country and blowing up our shopping centers and killing people. But they said to him, tell us what's going wrong. What's happening? What is it? He said, there's only one way you're going to solve it. You got to bring President Trump back. He said, Russia was afraid of him. China was afraid of him. Everybody was afraid of him. Nothing was going to happen. The whole world was at peace. And now the world is blowing up around us. Under our leadership, the United States will be respected again. No nation will question our power. No enemy will doubt our might. Our borders will be totally secure. Our economy will soar. We will return law and order to our streets, patriotism to our schools, and importantly, we will restore peace, stability, and harmony all throughout the world.
And as you can hear from the crowd's reaction there, however long that speech to the Republican convention, the audience loved it and they loved their nominee for four more years in the White House, Donald Trump. Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, was following the speech, and the most effective part of the speech was that description of the shooting, "I should not be here, God was on my side," that came in the beginning, Sean, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Anya. It was certainly the most compelling part of the speech. Anybody else who's listened to any Trump speeches, really, that was the new stuff in there. Everything else, we've heard it before, pretty much. It was just the way he said it was different. But that change in the way he said things, the way he wrapped up a lot of the messages, was brought about because of that shooting incident. It has changed him, it has changed his messaging, and it changed part of the way that this whole presented, but it was a kind of happened, dodging death by millimeters, and the crowd really did lap it up. He also brought on stage the fire helmet and equipment of the man who died in the shooting incident on Saturday, and produced a check, $1 million check. Waved it to the audience, said this is part of the $6.5 million we've raised for these families and the two men who've been injured as well, and they're going to get a lot more as well. And of course that went down very well with the crowd.
And the message at the start of the speech was about unity, but once Mr. Trump started to go off script, it was the more familiar messages, wasn't it? Crazy Nancy Pelosi, the China virus, Hannibal Lecter, Viktor Orban, Venezuela, I can end wars with a phone call, all of that.
Yeah, exactly. We've heard it all before, as I say, but it was the way it was delivered. It was a kinder, gentler, if you like, version of Donald Trump that we were getting this evening. And even in the imagery throughout the week, he'd been surrounding himself with his family, particularly his grandchildren. And then tonight, his wife, Melania, who we haven't seen at all during this campaign, joined him on stage at the end. And she'd also joined the family group up in their private viewing box in the arena. So he was trying to project a nicer side of Donald Trump. So although the messages were the same messages, the way they were delivered was different. And so he was talking about, right at the very top, "I'm bringing you a message of confidence, strength and hope." But he also used a word that we don't really associate with Donald Trump, and he used it a lot, and that word was love. Saying that he experienced an outpouring of love from people all across America after the shooting. He described how love would drive America to unparalleled heights. His speech was peppered with the word love, and you really don't expect that from him. Certainly he had no love for illegal immigrants, and there were a lot of people holding up signs, pre-printed signs, "mass deportations now." It's one of his promises. He's going to start deportations the day he takes office, should he win the election in November. Also promising to start a massive drilling campaign for oil in America to reduce the price of energy. That's, of course, a really hot-button issue here in America, price of fuel, because people drive long distances. It's a thing that really eats into their standard of living. And he was promising people that he was going to crush inflation really fast, restore the spending power of American workers, cut their taxes, etc. All kinds of wonderful promises, absolutely zero detail to back up any of these things. But it's what American people want to hear. They are really feeling the pinch. A lot of ordinary people and even people on fairly decent incomes here are finding it really, really hard to make ends meet. They feel squeezed. They feel crushed, and they're looking for messages of hope. And Trump spent an hour and a half largely giving them a message of hope and also pointing the finger at a few Aunt Sallys that you can throw your cans at, the usual suspects that we've heard it all before.
So, Sean, a successful convention from the Republicans' point of view, the party at this stage completely united behind Donald Trump, and his poll lead in swing states is increasing. And while the Democrats remain in disarray about Joe Biden.
Yeah, the Democrats are in disarray, and the Republicans, by contrast, the Trump faction took over the party right at the start of the year, cleared out the establishment and ran this convention their way. The political messaging was extremely disciplined. The whole presentation was extraordinarily good as a television spectacle, as an event in its own right. This thing was really, really well managed and well delivered and well presented. And it's had four nights of primetime television. Joe Biden, on the other hand, tried to get out on the road, meet people, do perhaps a little bit of spoiler things by making speeches. But it got caught short because he was struck down with COVID. And then we saw those pictures of him looking pretty frail, returning to Delaware to try and recover from COVID. And at the same time, the constant drumbeat of attacks on him. It paused for a couple of days after the assassination attempt on Trump, but it's back on again. A second senator has now come out calling for him to resign, and another congressman, Jamie Raskin, one of the leading lights of the January 6th committee, Maryland Democrat, a very high-profile guy over here. Quite surprising that he would come out at this stage. But again, a constant stream of leaks suggesting people like Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, other congressional leaders are really urging him to go at this stage. And you know, lots of momentum-building leaks are going on.
All right.
And it's not good for Joe Biden, not at all.
Washington correspondent Sean Whelan, thank you.